reader. I'm Cindy Burnett. Welcome to my award-winning podcast, Thoughts from a Page, which is a member of the Evergreen Podcasts Network. On the show, I chat with authors whose books I have enjoyed about their new releases, and I give you a peek behind the curtain of the publishing industry with my Behind the Scenes series. With so many books coming out weekly, it can be hard to decide what to read, so I find the best ones and share them with you. If you're looking for a community of readers, bonus content, and a chance to read books before they hit the shelves, I hope you'll consider joining my Patreon group, which is filled with a wonderful bunch of book lovers. The link to join is in the show notes. Today, Kelly Hooker joins me to talk about our literary lookbook and our upcoming summer reading guides. We discuss how the guides are different, what the literary lookbook is for and how it is used, and our summer reading guides, what they cover, and what we're really excited about that will be on those guides. Kelly is an avid reader, reviewer, and bookstagrammer. She works very part-time as a speech pathologist in Michigan and has three toddler boys. As a result, she firmly believes that nap time is for novels. She is an audiobook enthusiast and loves hosting her signature chapters and chats. She creates seasonal reading guides to help readers pick up the right book at the right time.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.
Hi there. I'm Heather Drago.
And I'm Sarah Saunders.
We host the podcast, That's a Hard No, about saying no and setting boundaries.
So you can become that true and empowered you that this world needs. Saying no isn't just okay.
It's the key to living an authentic, fulfilling life.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor. So while this podcast is in no way a replacement for one-on-one therapy, I suppose I know what I'm talking about.
I'd say so. We talk about learning to say no and set healthy boundaries and how it impacts mental health, physical health, relationships, parenthood, and more.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website, hardnopodcast.com.
We're here to help you find your no and say it unapologetically.
That's a hard no.
Welcome, Kelly. How are you today?
I am doing well. The sun is shining and I am on the tail end of a month of sickness here. I feel like I've been a broken record all winter, but it feels good. Maybe we're getting some sunshine. How are you doing?
Doing great. I know it's so hard when you have little kids and they go to any kind of school or preschool or anything because they just constantly pick stuff up.
Yes. Today we're opening the windows and just letting the sunshine in. It's supposed to be 70 here and it hasn't been 70 since like last summer, fall. So it's just going to feel so good.
That is nice. Here it is well over 80, like in the high 80s, which I am not quite ready for yet. So I would prefer 70s weather myself.
Yes. And how are you doing? I know you've been so busy with all the things.
Well, John is graduating in a month and a half, and his last day of class is a month from today, the day we're recording. So we are in high graduation mode, thinking about what that's going to look like. He's our last child, and there's just so many fun things planned. So yes, it has been a little busy here.
Yeah, such an exciting time.
Absolutely. Well, and for today's episode, we're doing something a little different. We launched our literary lookbook in the fall, which we had so much fun putting together and then had such a wonderful response for it. And then we also do our summer reading guides, which you do seasonal guides and put them out all year. I only do the summer reading guide, and we're going to talk a little bit about how mine's going to change this year. But with both of them coming out so close in time, the literary lookbook in April and our summer reading guides in May, we thought we would talk a little bit about the differences, what they are, and why we do them.
Yes, we had a couple questions about this. We wanted to make sure we were clear about the differences, what you can expect for both. And also, both of these are such passion projects for Cindy and I, the lookbook and the reading guides. And so anytime we have an opportunity to talk about them and share, it's just very exciting for us.
Absolutely. Both are things that we absolutely love doing. And they're really different than
just loving to read and loving to make your way through various books. The Literary Lookbook focuses on what's upcoming, and that has been a hobby for both of us for quite some time. Looking ahead, seeing what looks good, what we want to read, trying to predict what the big books are going to be, finding under the radar gems. Versus our summer reading guides, which we're going to delve into in a little bit, but they are different. They are books we've already read that we can recommend. You and I cover different windows of time, and we will talk about that. But one difference for sure is that one is everything that's coming out. The other is stuff we recommend. But both, as you mentioned, are passion projects for us.
Yes. And I think that we, for each of the lookbook and the reading guides, are really honing in on our process for both of these. And that feels like a hobby in and of itself. So we're going to talk a little bit about our process for each of these as well.
Absolutely. Because particularly the literary lookbook process has changed because we decided to do it about a month and a half before we put it out in the fall. So that required a totally different process than what we're doing now, where we knew we were doing it again and we just add as we go.
Yes. So let's circle back. Why don't you start and remind us why we started the lookbook to begin with?
Well, so you and I have constantly been talking about what's coming ahead, how we know where to find those books, making sure we don't miss anything. I think there's always going to be a book or two that slips through, but for the most part, trying to look ahead, prioritize what we want to read, and see what's coming. So we had a conversation about it. We decided ourselves to create a spreadsheet together where we would list everything that was upcoming that we could find in one place, because we couldn't find that kind of document anywhere. We can find tons and tons of lists, somebody's favorite, somebody's most anticipated, but none of them were remotely comprehensive. And so we wanted something all in one place with as many of the titles as we could find upcoming. So why don't you take it from there?
Okay. So the biggest difference from, you had mentioned, our lookbook that came out this fall and our lookbook now that is coming out in April is that we started creating this lookbook and our list months in advance. And so I feel like we've got so many more books because we've been keeping track as we go and adding to this spreadsheet that will eventually turn into our lookbook. And so we are consistently looking at NetGalley, what new additions are added. I check that about every other day, what's new on NetGalley. And so it gives me all the publishers and I go through and I find which books look good. We are adding books that are sent to us by publishers or books that we see people post about on Instagram. And we also recently reached out to all of the major publishers that we had contacts at and said, here's what we're doing. This is why it's different from anything else that's out there. We would love to know what books that you have planned coming for the spring, summer, and fall. Would you be willing to share those with us? And we did receive a lot of feedback with a lot of the publishers' book catalogs that feature their books coming out. And so we were able to cull through those and pick out the ones that we thought would be most appealing to our audience. So again, we're not including very many YA books or middle grade or high fantasy, but we are including nonfiction and books from most of the major publishers that sound appealing.
Absolutely. And it's been nice because we've been able to work on it from the second that the last one went out. So anytime something comes either one of our ways, we share it, we add it to this mutual spreadsheet, and that way we know when the time comes, we're ready to go. And the thing that's interesting, and we noticed this last time as well, there's so much shifting of pub dates. So we will create the list. And then by the time even the month and a half we were working on it in the fall, a number of pub dates had switched. And I've been seeing that as we've been working on this list as well, that there has definitely already been some shifting of pub dates. So it's kind of interesting. And even after we put the book out, there will be several that shift. But for the most part, we're trying to get that hammered out, narrowed down.
Yes. And this lookbook will cover books June through October. We are not including November or December releases because typically these months tend to be on the lighter end of the publishing side. And also, especially this year with it being an election year, we highly suspect that the number of titles released in November and December will be much less.
I think that's right, because historically, that's exactly what has happened. When there is a presidential election, there is very little coming out in November and December, and often a lot of it is political, which we don't include a bunch of on our list as well.
Right. We are also including, I would say, a large amount of May books that were not included on our first lookbook. Our first lookbook that came out in the fall included books published through May. But since that time, there have been so many more May books that we have found out about, and we wanted a place to catch those too. So we do have a May section as well, but it's not comprehensive because we have some on the first lookbook. So a little extra May content for you.
Yes. And I'm assuming the same thing will happen for this current one that we're getting ready to release, because 6 months out, we don't always have all of the titles, even though we've been into contact with publishers and all of that. There are just some books that will slip through. So we will do the same thing next time. Pick up any October that missed and any November, December that we felt were worth highlighting.
Yes, absolutely. When we created the lookbook, we had an idea in our head of how we personally might use it, as well as how readers or booksellers might use it as well. But since its release, we have been able to see how people are specifically using it and how it's enhanced their reading life. And so when we were preparing for this episode, last week on Instagram, in my stories, I had asked if there was anybody who had purchased it that would be willing to share with me how they were using it. I wanted to share with you some of the responses that I got, because I think these are such great ideas. Cindy and I are going to alternate and go back and forth between some of the responses that we received. So this is one of the ones that is near and dear to my heart. Somebody mentioned that they use it to mark the books that they want to read, and then they can place their holds at the library. Being number one on the library holds list is such an adrenaline rush, and it makes me so happy that the lookbook is able to help people do that.
And to piggyback on that, often I know people had mentioned that they used it to request books that the library could have.
Oh, yes. I think that's a great idea, too. I hadn't thought of that.
So the next one is that some people pull the lookbook up each week to determine if there are any books they want to purchase that week or they want to look for elsewhere.
Yes. And similarly, we heard from an independent bookstore owner who uses it to consider upcoming titles to purchase for her bookstore, as well as her own personal reading.
I have to say, as an indie bookseller in the past and as a lover of indie bookstores, that one in particular warmed my heart.
Yes, I am so glad.
Me too. So the next one is book reviewers use it to update their TBRs and put in any NetGalley requests that they had missed, which is one of the things we thought would be great about the lookbook. And we're happy to see that people were using it that way.
Yes. One reader mentioned to me that she is a visual learner and she so appreciated having the covers of the books to reference by publication date. And she mentioned that she prints the list out and she makes notes directly on it about the books that she researches on Google, books that she's got library holds on, ones that she requests from NetGalley, and books that she has purchased or pre-ordered. So she's got it all marked out based on each category of these books. And I thought that is a great comprehensive way to keep track of everything.
Well, I also really loved that comment because you and I spent a long time trying to decide how best to format the literary lookbook initially, whether to include covers, whether just to list titles, how that would look. So I was thrilled to pieces that going with the covers helped her.
Yeah, I thought that too. That was a great move.
And our last one is a school librarian who uses it to fuel her hobby of finding out about new books that are released, which reinforces our passion that researching books is in fact a separate hobby than actually reading the books, which we have talked about for a while, but we're happy to see someone else feels the same way.
Yes, and we are just so grateful for all the readers that took time to purchase our literary lookbook last year, and we are just so thrilled to see it out and being helpful for people's reading.
And I find it so much fun whenever anybody tags us. Even now, today, yeah. Somebody tagged us about the literary lookbook and how they were using it, and we still have people purchasing it, which I think is so fascinating and great.
Yes, the post today on Instagram was wonderful because she was sharing her favorites from the first quarter and she had gotten them off of the lookbook, which was wonderful.
I loved that.
Yes, me too.
So we are going to be selling it a little differently this time. We had sold it through my Patreon account last time, but there were a variety of issues that made that a little more difficult. Patreon takes so much out in terms of fees, not just one fee, but all these little fees. And then when we switch it out to PayPal, there's more fees. So we decided all of those fees were a problem for us, as well as the fact that now Apple has implemented a new 30% charge anytime anybody buys anything through their app. So on top of all of the fees we're already having from Patreon and PayPal, we would also be having fees anytime anybody bought it through the Apple app. So we decided we're going to try something a little different. And Kelly, I'll let you explain it because you did it for your winter reading guide.
Sure. My regular summer reading guide is free. I do not charge for that. But I do offer a bonus guide available, and I don't have a set price on that, but anybody who sends me a tip, I send the bonus guide as a thank you. Anyone interested in purchasing the bonus guide would fill out the Google form. And in that form, they would indicate their payment method. So whether they were going to do PayPal, Venmo, or Buy Me a Coffee. Those were the three options that I had. So they selected which option they wanted to go through. They submitted their payment, and then I would directly email them the bonus guide. And that worked so well for us because Google Forms allows us to populate a spreadsheet so we can see exactly who's purchased it and get it to you quickly, but also in a way that makes sense for us as well.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. I know I helped you test that out a little bit, saw how it worked. I was really glad that it worked well for you. And I think that will work equally well for the Literary Lookbook this go round.
Yes, I think that we'll be able to put the Google Forms up on each of our Instagram pages, in our stories, the direct links, in our links in bio. We could put the link to the form as well in show notes or on the Facebook group. So I also wanted to mention that when we sold the lookbook previously through Patreon, there was confusion with some readers as to if they had to be a patron of Thoughts from a Page podcast to purchase the lookbook. And that's not correct. So we also wanted to distinguish it a little bit and make sure that people knew it was available to everybody.
Exactly. And it also confused Patreon members because it was in Patreon. So yes, I think all the way around, this will be nice to do it in a different place. And I'm glad you used this for your winter reading guide, and we know it will work, and we're looking forward to it. And if people ever have questions, just shoot them to either one of us.
Yes, we're happy to help troubleshoot that.
Absolutely. So the Literary Lookbook will release toward the end of April, and we will let everybody know when it goes live.
Yeah, I am so thrilled because this time around, we already have over 200 titles. We're adding to it daily, and so we hope that it is a great resource for you.
I agree. All right, let's dive into our summer reading guides, the other passion project we share.
Yes.
So have you been madly reading for yours?
I have. I have. This year has been great because I have been strategic since December about planning ahead my reads for summer and going through my large TBR list. And for me, this year, it was different because I knew which audiobooks I would have access to eventually from different publishing programs that I'm in. And so I am focusing on reading on my Kindle books that I knew I wasn't going to have audio access for. Where sometimes last year I'd read a book on my Kindle and then the next month I would be like, oh, I've got this on audio now. So I'm just trying to be really streamlined and efficient with my planning. And I think that's helped so much.
Oh, that is great. And I know you've been ahead of me for most of this. So it's been great because you talk about which books you're trying, which ones aren't working, which ones are working. And we'll talk a little bit about how you and I have been planning to make sure ours don't overlap too much. But before we do that, let's talk about the windows we cover because they are very different. So tell me about what your summer reading guide covers.
My summer reading guide is covering any books that I didn't include on my winter reading guide that have escaped me. So maybe a couple end of March, maybe a few April, but predominantly May through August. So true summer reading. And I know that people are interested in backlist books as well, but you can always access my previous summer reading guide. And I do include some backlist recommendations in my bonus guide, but I really want people to see of the books that are releasing in the summer, which ones do I recommend?
I love that ours target different books in different time periods because that helps them not overlap so much since we do share a lot of the same reading preferences.
Yeah.
Since I only do the summer reading guide, mine covers September of 2023 to August of 2024. So I go back throughout the year, pull books that I have just loved. I'm going to use a similar approach, which I have done in the last couple of years, of theming them, like you do, Kelly, but in different groups and different ideas, and mine will cover the entire year versus just the summertime.
I think that's great because there are so many readers who just want to be able to get a book from the library ASAP. And with my reading guide, that's a little bit trickier because you might be on a hold or the book isn't out yet. And so I think ours together make a great pair.
I think that's exactly right. And I'm going to do mine a little differently this year because in years past, I've put it on my website, but my website is predominantly made for podcasts. It's through a company called Podpage, and you just streamline everything. You put in your RSS feed and it populates the podcast, has all these great features. They have a blog feature, but it's not predominantly for blogs. So it has a limited number of characters. And I have really bumped up against that the last couple of years. So I'm going to take the jump with your help and create my summer reading guide in Canva. And that way I'm not limited by characters. I'm not limited by the inability to do graphics and all of that. So I'm really excited. I'm a little nervous just because it's something different for me. But after we did the literary lookbook, I feel like I've got an understanding of how it will all work. And then I'll also have your help. Thank you.
Yes, I think it's going to be so user-friendly and so beautiful. And to be able to print it off from a PDF form versus a website, I think it's going to be great too, because I know people love to mark it up.
I agree with that. And I noticed that last year, like people were printing my list, but it was really difficult. I think I did maybe a basic PDF. I can't remember, but I'm really excited because I think this will look a lot better and a lot more in keeping with most of the summer reading guides.
Yes, it's going to be so fun. A good transition for you.
Exactly. So also, I've mentioned this a little bit, but we can talk a bit more about it. You and I are making a very concerted effort to talk about what we're reading and decide, okay, there's going to be some overlap because there always will be, and that's okay. But to make sure we take each guide in a different direction so they don't look identical or very similar.
Yes, I think naturally, because we are in contact like every day about reading, if you're saying this book is amazing, I'm like, great, I want to read it too. And that's wonderful. But with the summer reading guide, we want to be intentional about spacing our reads out. So if you love a book right now, I will absolutely save it for my TBR after May. And we each typed up separately our top books that we wanted still to read for the summer reading guide, and as well as our list of ones that we knew we were already going to include, to make sure that we each had our own little lanes and we didn't have too much overlap. And we were actually in great shape. I was surprised how few overlap we had, which is just a testament to how many amazing books are coming out.
I agree. There are obviously some that would be on both lists, which I expected and I knew, but I agree with you. It was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be in terms of trying to divide up. Okay, you take that one. Okay, I'll take this one. I feel like I say this every year, but I truly believe it for 2024. I have just never seen this many books coming out all the time. Like, it is just crazy. It's impossible to keep up.
It is. And so hopefully with both of our guides, you can get a feel for what might work with you. And so you'll just have double to choose from, which is wonderful.
Exactly. Do you know how many books you have confirmed yet for yours?
Yes. Last night I finished a book and I updated my master sheet that has all of the books that I am for sure including with potential categories. And I've got 17 so far, and I'm shooting for 30-ish. So I'm in great shape.
You are in great shape. And I am at 15. I'm pretty sure they are all going to be on there. But as I keep reading, I may have some shifting. But right now I'm at 15.
Okay, that's so exciting.
So as you've been reading, have you seen any themes or noticed any themes with the books that are coming out this summer?
Yes. The main theme that I am noticing this year is books focused on family dynamics, especially the dynamics between adult siblings. There just seems to be so many books within that realm. And the ones that I've read are really good. And so I'm excited for that. The other thing that I have noticed is love stories that have emotional depth. Of course, there's plenty of the standard rom-coms that kind of are fluffy and people really love. But I am a big fan of these stories that thoughtfully incorporate mental health representation into the storyline. And it seems like some of these books are appealing to readers who typically read mainstream romance, but also other readers who are looking to dabble in the genre and maybe want something with more depth to it. So I think that if that's your style, you will be pleased with the selection of books coming out this summer.
I completely agree on the second one. I haven't read as many with the family dynamics yet, but with respect to love stories, I agree completely. And also stories with older protagonists, which, because I am a little older, I appreciate. And I think you're right that these stories are appealing to people who don't always read romance as well.
Yeah, like me. They're sucking me in.
The other thing that we've already been seeing some, and I think it's continuing into summer, is genre mashups, which I am always all there for. I love those books that pull from a variety of genres, a bit of mystery, a bit of drama, some romance, some humor. So I think we're seeing more and more of those type of books, and I love that.
Yes. What are we seeing less of? You picked up on this, and I completely agree.
I have not really noticed any breakout summer thriller yet. And I feel like summer is often a time for several breakout thrillers, that people like to read thrillers in the summer, though I think people think of thrillers as fall books, which is fine. But I also think they're great summer reads, like Drowning last summer and Wrong Place, Wrong Time the summer before. And I have not yet encountered such a book for this summer. Have you?
No. What's interesting is typically when I'm planning for my summer reading guide, the categories that fill up first for me are slow burn suspense or crime stories or popcorn thrillers. Those three types of books are the ones that I'm like, yes, I've got these slotted in first, and then my other categories emerge. But this year, the category for mysteries and thrillers is not as robust. Like, I just haven't come across many yet. I did start one last night that I am loving, which will, I hope, be on there. And I'm actually going to talk about that in another episode. But I think it's interesting, too, because when we released our literary lookbook, there were so many mysteries and thrillers that seemed like it was all of them that were coming out in that time frame that we were talking about from January to May. And so it's just fascinating how it seems to have maybe shifted a little bit. But I love thrillers in the summer as well.
I agree. And actually, I am speaking to a group in late April, and I was working on my list over the weekend, and I was realizing normally I have to really whittle down the thrillers that I end up saying, okay, these 8 books were all so good, and I cannot talk about 8 of my 14 as thrillers, so I have to pull them off. But I was like, wow, I don't have many mysteries or thrillers on this list. And I really try to target books that have come out in the last 6 to 8 months. Yeah. So I was realizing it's interesting, even though we had so many on the lookbook, there haven't been that many that I'm like, oh, that's a standout, or, oh, I just loved that one. So it's very interesting to see that that genre is kind of taking a bit of a dip.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if it's just me and the books that I'm feeling in the mood for or coming across, but there haven't been a lot of books with a premise that I'm finding at NetGalley, like, oh, I must read this for the summer reading guide. I've got a handful, but usually, like you said, it's like so many that you're trying to sift through and figure out which ones you want to read. But I've got it very pinpointed down, the ones that I'm interested in.
Yes, it's definitely fascinating to see. And there may be some book that we don't know about that suddenly takes off this summer, or one that we didn't love that does. But I'm kind of curious to see what happens. I did love First Sly Wins, thanks to you, which came out in January. But because it was a Reese pick, I wasn't putting it on my list to talk about, because I just feel like it's nice to talk about those books that haven't gotten as much press when I'm doing some of these book talks, because it's easy to find the celebrity picks.
Definitely. I think that's smart.
So before we wrap up, do you want to share 2 that you know for sure will be on your reading guide?
Yes. And looking back, these both fall into some of the themes that we're noticing. So the first book that I know will absolutely be on my summer reading guide is All the Colors of the Dark by Chris Whitaker. I've talked about this at length. I absolutely loved it. It will potentially be my top read of the year. It comes out in June, and it's a genre mashup as well.
Initially, when I read the summary of this one, I was like, whoa, okay, that book is not for me. But you've been raving about it. All sorts of other people have been raving about it. So I am going to try it and read it during the day in case it's too creepy. But I am going to give it a whirl because so many people have been saying how good it is.
Yeah, I think you're going to be glad that you picked it up.
I think so, too. I hope so. So my first one that I know for sure will be on the list is How to Age Disgracefully by Claire Pooley, which is also a June release. I'm a huge Claire Pooley fan. I was so excited to read this one. It's always a little nerve-wracking when you pick up a book that you are excited to read and you've loved the author's previous books because you're like, please, please, please be good. And this one was just delightful. I love her focus on intergenerational relationships, which is something she often targets. And this one is a standout.
I totally agree. This is a 5-star read for me as well. And this is one that we both agreed already that will be on both of ours.
Exactly. Like, nobody can claim Claire Pooley as their own.
No, this was so fantastic. The other book that I am for sure going to have on my reading guide is The Same As It Ever Was by Claire Lombardo, and she is the author of The Most Fun We Ever Had. This also, I believe, comes out in June. And the most fun we ever had, I believe, is currently a backlist Reese book club pick for this month. She doesn't usually do backlist books, but I believe this is her pick. So I'm excited to read that. But I loved The Same As It Ever Was. It was a great, great story. And again, intergenerational friendships, middle marriage, parenting, all of these themes that I loved. And again, fits in with that theme of family dynamics that I had been noticing.
I was so interested that Reese picked her backlist book as her April pick, because you often see that in November and December when there is so much less coming out, but you don't usually see it in a time like April when there are thousands of books coming out. So it was interesting to me that that's what she chose. But I know people say she often chooses things that she's going to then bring to the screen. So maybe that's what's happening here.
Oh, that's intriguing. Okay. Well, I'm glad that I put The Most Fun We Ever Had in my new Battle of the Backburners, because I know I'm going to read it within the next year. So I'm excited.
And then my second book is Anna Bright is Hiding Something by Susie Orman-Schnall. I love Susie's historical fiction, and I was so interested to see her move in a different direction. Another trend that we've talked about before is authors going outside of their known for genre. And so Susie has written historical fiction, and now she wrote a present day story, kind of loosely based on Elizabeth Holmes of Theranos fame. And it is just such a page turner. I sat down to start it and I did not get up till I had finished it. I just thought it was so well done. And that one also comes out in early June.
This is one that I absolutely plan to read after May, because this is going to be perfect for your summer reading guide. What I love about your guide is you often highlight titles that I haven't seen anywhere else. And I think that this is going to be one of them, because it is a lesser known publisher. So it'll be great to give this book more publicity.
I agree. Well, this was such a fun conversation, Kelly, and hopefully helpful to listeners so they understand the difference in the two. And I appreciate your coming back and being on the Thoughts from a Page podcast again.
It's always my pleasure. I'm so excited for both of these to come out and hopefully serve readers well.
Agree completely.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!
Science! 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 Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I would love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook, where you can find me at Thoughts from a Page. If you enjoy the show, please consider joining my Patreon group to access bonus content and support the podcast. If you have a moment to rate the show or subscribe to it wherever you listen to your podcasts, I would really appreciate it. It makes a big difference. And please tell all of your friends about Thoughts from a Page. Word of mouth does wonders to help the show grow. I hope you'll tune in next time.
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
Right.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.